I'd like to draw your attention this morning to a passage you'll read in Isaiah and chapter 11 and verse 10. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 10. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Paphos and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. And also, if you turn to Psalm 147 and verse 2, which reads, "The Lord doth build up Jerusalem, he gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem, he gathereth together the outcasts of Israel." Outcasts. The Lord here in these two passages describes his people as the outcasts of Israel. Outcasts. Those who are cast out. Those who are rejected. Those who are set to one side. Those who are not wanted, despised of men, ridiculed of men, unwanted, neglected, rejected, outcasts, outcasts. Yes, there's a people in this world who aren't the same as others. They stand out. They're different. They don't fit in like others. And the Lord here describes them as the outcasts of Israel. See, in this world there are definitely two kinds of people. Two kinds. Two different seeds. Not all men are the same. And as a result, not all men get along. Some inevitably don't fit in. They're pushed to one side, they're cast out. God's people here are described as outcasts. Of course, there are those in this world who aren't outcasts. Many are very popular. There are very many who fit in with the general course of things. Those who find it easy to get along in the world. Those who find it easy to prosper. Those who are liked by many. Those who are welcome. Those who are met by others with a bonhomie. Who are met with open arms. Those whom the world speaks well of. Those whom the world admires. Those whom the world loves. The wise, the prudent, the clever, the rich, the smart, the witty, the worldly wise. Those who are looked up to. Those who are certainly not cast out. And these sort are those who generally have little time for God. They have much time for what they see in this world, much time for the riches and the treasures of this world, much time for the business and the pleasure of this world. They run with the course of this world. They run with the fashion of this world. They run with the current thinking of the time. The accepted thinking. They have no time for God, for for God and his truth and his gospel is counter to the course of this world. For this world and the majority who head in a certain direction in this world has turned its back upon God. It's turned its back upon its maker. It's run in a different direction. And it has not time for God. And it has not time for his truth. There is a road, a broad road, a broad way, which heads in a certain direction. And there is another road, a narrow way, a straight way, which heads in a completely different direction. There are many on the broad way, and there are many who have no time for God. And these are not anything like cast out. Where the many are, there's popularity. Where the majority are, it's easy to fit in if you go their way. But there are others who walk another way, and that way is not welcomed by the majority. Now, the majority are not cast out, but the majority have cast out God and his truth and his gospel. Where are you? Which path are you on? Which road are you on? What enters your thoughts? What governs the direction of your life? What are your ambitions and your goals? What are your desires? What motivates you? What do you long for? Do you seek the popularity of man? Do you seek the praise and the acclaim, the adoration, the love of others? Do you seek to get on in this world? Do you want to be rich? Do you want to be powerful? Do you want to be liked? Well, there's an easy way to achieve all those things, but it will take you upon a path which is wide, which is broad, where many others travel, where you will be certainly prosperous, certainly liked, certainly get on for a moment in the course of this world, in the span of the time of your life. But it's a way which leads to a sure and a certain end. It's a broad way which leads to destruction. Yes, it's popular. Yes, you'll fit in. Yes, you'll get much of what you seek. Yes, you might enjoy the pleasures that you look for a moment. Yes, you may be rich. Yes, you may get the career you desire. Yes, you may get the wife or the husband, the friends you want. Yes, men and women may look up to you and speak well of you. But it's but for a moment. And when the moment has passed, with suddenness and no warning, your life comes to a close. And you'll find that that way which seemed to promise so much ended up by leaving you with so little. For you can take none of the riches and none of the pleasures and none of the friends that you have in this world beyond the grave. And the grave is that destination that stands before you. However old you may be, however prosperous, however popular, however rich, the grave approaches like a little light at the end of a tunnel as you journey towards it. It will come sooner than you think. And the popularity and the pleasures and the riches will become a distant memory when you stand the other side of judgment. Yes, there are those that fit in. Yes, there are those that are popular. But such popularity is but for a moment. They have no time for God, for they seek pleasure. They seek what they want. They're self-serving, self-seeking. For man, when he turned from God in the garden, went another way. And his children and descendants to this day continue from the womb, from the day they're born, to head in the same direction as Adam did when he rebelled in the garden. They cast out God. God doesn't enter their thoughts and affections. Self does. And self-gratification does. Where is your heart? Is your heart set upon the Lord God, your maker, your sustainer, the one that put you upon this earth? Are you seeking him? Are you seeking to discover him, to find him, to know him, to love him, to serve him, to worship him? Or are you seeking self and your own glory, your own gain, your own pleasure? Are you seeking popularity? Some on this way will say that they do seek God, they do love God, they do worship God. These are those that want all the gains on the broad way, all the popularity. They want to fit in with the crowds, but they know there's a God, and they don't want that God to cast them out. And with a certain fear of the judgment to come, they seek to be right with God whilst remaining right with their fellow man. They want it all. And they have a form of religion that seems to promise and give them all. It deludes them into thinking that they can serve God and serve mammon. And merrily they walk along this broad way with others, in their broad churches, with their broad religion, thinking that God is pleased with them. And their shock when they enter the grave will be worse than others. For these won't even be able to say that they sought not God. These are those that think that they were well with God, when in reality God had nothing at all to do with them. Is that you? Don't be deluded. Don't go the way of the masses, still seeking self-serving gain, whilst deluding yourself that you're going to get into heaven somehow, that you've met with God. God's people don't fit in. God describes his people in our passage with a certain phrase. He calls them the outcasts of Israel. Not the popular in Israel, but outcasts. God's people are outcasts. There are many in this world that cannot be described as outcasts. Many who are popular, many who are in a crowd. But God's people are outcasts. They don't fit in. They don't fit in with the world. And they don't fit in with the world's religion. You see, the world and its religion is popular. The world has a religion where they speak of God, but their God is another God. They don't love the sovereign Lord God of the Scriptures. They don't love his precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. They may make a God that they call Jesus, that gives them everything they want, that lets them have their pleasure and their fun whilst they're here. You hear them in their churches say, oh, God isn't against fun. He wants us to have it all. He wants you to have it all. He wants us to live and have fun. But they're not speaking of the same God as the God of the Scriptures. They can spin their lie, and they can deceive many that run headlong towards destruction. But whatever they call that God, this is not the God that speaks words of comfort to his people in their suffering. This is not the God that came in the person of Jesus Christ to lay down his life for the outcasts of Israel. This is not the God that came to save the weak and the broken. This is not the God that healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. This is not the God that lifteth up the meek and casteth the wicked down to the ground. No, their God, the popular God of popular so-called Christianity today, is a God that helps the strong, a God that helps the wise, a God that helps those that love fun, a God that helps those that love to worship as they like, a God that helps those that want to do what they like, a God that ultimately helps those that worship themselves, those that still seek their own gain. That God is not the God that says that he shall gather the remnant of his people, who shall recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Paphos and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. The God who shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. This God is a different God. This God is the living God. The living God. For the Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek, and he casteth the wicked down to the ground. This is the true and the living God. And all those who know this God, and all those who follow this God, and all those who are saved by this God, are described as the outcasts of Israel. Outcasts. Those who go another way, a narrow way, a straight way, a hard way. Those who don't fit in. Those who are cast out by the majority. Those who are rejected. The majority reject both these and they reject their God. When the Lord God sent his Son into this world, the majority cried out for him to be crucified. They despised him and they rejected him. They said, we will not have this man to reign over us. He came under his own. The religious, the Jews, those who should have known him, those who should have received him. And the Jews cast him out. They despised him. They hated him. They crucified him. And the majority, even today, despise him. They hate him. And in their hearts they crucify him. Why? Because at heart, those who fit in, those who are not cast out, are wicked. These are the wicked in heart. And the wicked seem to prosper, don't they? The wicked fit in, the wicked are accepted. They make much money. They are powerful. They are worshipped. They are adored. They prosper. But they cast out God. And they cast out his Son. And they cast out his people. Now the world has no room for him. And the world has no room for the outcasts of Israel. Where are you? Which road are you on? How do you describe yourself? How do you feel? Are you popular? Do you have many, many friends? Does the world speak well of you? When you go to work, when you go to school, are you the one that everyone speaks well of? Or are you shunned? God's people are outcasts. They're strangers who are scattered, as Peter describes them in 1 Peter 1. Strangers scattered. They're strangers. The world looks upon them as different. There's something about them that sets them apart. They're strange to the world. Cast out by the world. Unwanted, unwelcome, unliked. An irritation in the midst of others. A dampener and a break on the pleasures which others seek. These outcasts just don't fit in. They don't, do they? They can try as they might. They might seek to fit in. But if they're the Lord's, if they're truly these outcasts of Israel, then try as they might, ultimately there's that about them that sets them apart. They're different. When God works in a man or a woman, the difference begins to show. He begins to stand out. He no longer walks as others walk. He no longer thinks as others think. He no longer believes as others believe. He no longer loves what others love. He's different. He's different. There's something about him that's no longer as he used to be. Once he was like others. Once he was as the children of wrath. Once he was as the children of disobedience. Once he lived just as any other man did. Once he walked just as any other man did. Once he went on the same path. But there's come a day. There's come a time in his life when something has begun to happen. When God has begun to work in his soul. When God has begun to work in the depths of his being. To change him, to turn him round. To teach him what he is. To teach him what his soul is. To teach him what he is by nature. To teach him the corruption of his own heart. To teach him where the world is heading. To teach him where his pathway would end if he carried on it. To teach him who God is and what God is like. To teach him what sin is. To teach him what righteousness is. To teach him how far short he falls of righteousness. How far short he falls of perfection. God has begun to turn him up, to turn him upside down, to turn him inside out, to show him what he is, to expose him. And suddenly he's no longer as others. He's no longer thinking as others. He no longer feels as others. Once he could walk just as other men walked. Once he took pleasure in all the things that they took pleasure in. Once he'd go out on a Friday night with his friends just as others did. Once he'd go out drinking and dancing. Once he'd go out to all the places where others went. And he'd take the pleasure in the same things that others took pleasure in. But now it's all beginning to feel hollow and empty. Now what he sought in this world seems worthless. Now what he thought was great seems empty. Now what he thought was wonderful seems vacant, seems barren. It no longer seems as good as it used to. He no longer takes pleasures in the things he did and the people he used to meet with. His mind is set upon other things. It's when God begins to work in the heart of a sinner. He churns him up. Now he looks in. And when he once thought he used to be quite a good man, quite upright, quite moral, now he seems to think another way about himself. He looks upon his actions, he looks upon his motives, he looks at his heart, and he becomes increasingly disgusted with himself. He sees darkness in his heart. He used to think he was wise and he was clever, but now he realizes how little he knows. He knows nothing. Once he thought it was good to go this way, now he begins to hate that way. Once he didn't think about God and eternity, now he can't help but continue to think about God and eternity. Once he never thought about death, now every day he feels like death beckons. Every day he feels like the bony claw of death's hand is about to grab him and pull him the other side. Once he thought nothing of his sins, now all he can see is his sins and corruption. Once he thought nothing of judgment and the wrath to come, now his legs quake every day as he knows, he realizes that he is guilty from head to toe. And that should his life be brought to an end this day, that he will plunge into eternity. His thoughts have changed. His affections have changed. The Spirit has wrought conviction in his heart. Have you come this way? Have you discovered the corruption of your heart? Have you seen judgment awaiting? Have you been made wise to eternity? Have you come to stand and to think, where do I stand before God? Where will I be when my life is ended? Have you looked upon those pleasures you once took much delight in and begun to find them disgusting and empty and useless? Have you begun to look beyond what is in time, beyond what you can see with the outer eye, and to look into eternity and wonder what then? What's the other side of the grave? When you're brought this way, you no longer fit in. You no longer fit in. And the world around you begins to see you're different. You no longer laugh at their jokes. You no longer pat them on the back like you used to. You're no longer such good company to be with. You're mournful, you're miserable. You're heavy, you're too deep. The world no longer wants your company. And slowly and surely, you find that you no longer fit in and you're cast out. It's when the Lord brings a man on this pathway, he brings him from a broad path and begins to lead him towards a narrow gate, a straight gate that leads to a narrow path. You're no longer the same. You can't think the same, you don't see things the same, you don't walk the same. You're different. You know that eternity beckons. And you begin to become cast out. But when a man's in that state, oh, what a pitiful place to be. He feels the corruption of his heart. He knows that judgment awaits him. He feels that God is angry with him in his sin. But he finds that those who were once his friends no longer want to know him either. He's cast out by others. But he doesn't feel welcomed in by the God he knows he must one day stand before. He feels very, very alone. Very, very cast out. Very, very isolated. Have you walked this path? Perhaps this is where you are this day. Perhaps this is where you seem to be approaching. Perhaps you once took pleasure in certain things, but now you've changed. Perhaps you've found the Bible. You've begun to read it. Perhaps you've tried to seek out a church where you might hear a preacher preach something about what the Bible means. Perhaps you know there's a God and you need to be right with God. Perhaps you've heard of his Son, Jesus Christ, and you know that Christ came to save sinners. And you want to know something about him. But you listen. You read the Bible, you listen to the messages preached, and none of it seems to enter in. You can't make head or tail of it. You know there's something in it, but it's not personal to you. You don't know where you are. You just feel the wrath of God burning from heaven against your sin. And you feel the rejection of men all around you. And you feel an outcast. Perhaps that's where you are this day. Cast out. Well, I want to tell you about the one who gathers the outcasts of Israel. The one who gathers the outcasts. The one who came to save those that the world cast out. The one who came to save those in whose heart he has worked to lead them from a broad way onto a narrow. The one who's come for those who are broken in heart. The one who's come for those who are wounded in heart. Who are wounded by the wounds of conviction. Who are broken down. Who know that they're guilty before a holy God. Who know that they're nothing. There's one who's come to save such as these. To gather such as these. His name is the Lord God Almighty. His Son is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he sent his Son to save outcasts. Are you an outcast? Perhaps you're not. If you're not, the very thought of being cast out is anathema to you. If all you want is to fit in, then I haven't got good news for you. I've only got a warning for you that your pleasure will last but a moment and then the grave approaches. But if you're feeling cast out, if you're feeling like you no longer love what you used to love, like eternity matters, if you're feeling that God and where you stand before God matters, if you're feeling that you're sinful that your heart is not good, that though the world around might tell you that there's good in every man, that you're really good, you know that that's an empty lie. You know there's no truth in it. If you feel there's no truth in that anymore, if your heart tells you something else, that you look within and know that you're not good and you won't stand before God, then I've good news for you. For there's one that came for outcasts. One that came. One who came to save outcasts. One who came to gather the outcasts. One who came to separate the outcast from the others. One who's brought you to this point. For these two people in this world, those on the narrow way and those on the broad, they're on different paths for a reason. Outcasts didn't make themselves like that. They were cast out by others. But ultimately they were brought to that point at the hand of him who came to save the outcasts. What really makes one differ from the other? Who makes the outcast differ from the other? Is it those who cast them out? Have they made them differ? Well, no. They cast them out because they were different. They cast them out because they despised them. Well, what made them different? What separated these from the others? Why, it is the Lord, the one that came to save the outcast. He made them different. If you feel cast out this day, if you feel the corruption of your sin, if you're looking to be saved from your sins, there's one who's put you there. There's one who's made you to differ. It wasn't your choice to be where you are. You didn't make yourself aware of the corruption within. There's one who worked within your heart. The Spirit of God came upon you and started to awaken you to your state. He started to convict you within. He started to lead you another way. He separated you from others. He brought you to the point that you're on. At his will. By his decree. He separates the people. He brings them to know what they are. He brings them to an end of themselves. He brings them to desperation. He brings them to that point where they're cast out. And he brings them to cry. To cry. To cry unto him. To cry unto the living God. Is that where you are? Are you crying out? Are you crying out for help? Are you crying out to God? Are you crying out that God might spare you, that he might save you? Do you feel separated, set apart from others? Well, I tell you, that's no bad thing. That's a good place to be. That's a good place to be brought. It might not seem it. It might seem desperate. You might feel like death awaits, but it's a good place to be brought. It's a good thing to be brought there. It's a good thing to be separated. Separated from the masses. Separated from the fools that go down to destruction. It's a good thing to be brought there, to be cast out. It may seem miserable, it may seem a trial. But ultimately, if you're brought there, it's God that's brought you there. If you're cast out, it's God that's caused you to be cast out. And it's God that came to save the outcasts of Israel. Outcasts. Oh, it's a good thing to be cast out. For in the end, these outcasts, these ones who were despised and rejected of men, have a great reward. They have an everlasting reward. these ones who are cast out are far better off than those who cast them out. Others may laugh at them, they may scoff at them. But in the end, it is these outcasts who will laugh, who will rejoice. For these are those whom the Lord God came to save. These are those whom the Lord God will gather. These are those who will be brought to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. These are those who will cry out in desperation for salvation and who will be heard. Every last one of them will be heard. You may say this day, I feel cast out. I want to be saved. Will the Lord hear me? I answer, he hears the cries of all who call upon his name, all who are cast out, all who cry out to him for salvation. He hears all the cries of his people, all the outcasts of Israel, all the broken in heart, all the bruised, all the broken, all those who cry out to be saved. He hears them all. There's not one whom he passes by. And all whom he hears will be saved. They will be heard. They'll be gathered in. And these in the end will rejoice. They will laugh. They will glory in his salvation. For though cast out by men, they have greater reward. They're separated unto riches beyond measure, unto eternal life, unto eternal bliss. They're separated unto Jesus Christ, the one who came to save the outcasts, the one who came to save his own, the one who came to build up Jerusalem. Yes, these may be outcasts, but these are cast out by the world with Christ. Their Saviour was cast out. They're cast out, but their Saviour was cast out. And all who are cast out in this way are cast out with one who came to save them. To save them with a mighty Saviour. They're cast out with that one who came forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, a branch which grew up out of his roots, the one upon whom the Spirit of the Lord shall rest, the one who has the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the one who had a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. The one who came not to judge after the sight of his eyes and to reprove after the hearing of his ears, but the one who came into this world with righteousness that he might judge the poor and reprove with equity the meek of the earth, that he should smite the earth with the rod of his mouth and with the breath of his lips he should slay the wicked. And with righteousness about his loins and faithfulness his reins, he should come to save the outcasts of Israel. Yes, you may feel cast out, but if you're brought to see the one that came to save the outcasts, then you're cast out with a mighty Saviour. Who will pick you up and who will bind your wounds, who will heal your transgressions and who will wash you clean in his blood and put your feet upon a rock and lead you forth on a narrow way, but a narrow way that leads unto everlasting life. Yes, this Christ, this Son of God, this God, this Saviour, came to save outcasts. In that day, there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Paphos and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea, wherever that people are, however scattered they may be, however few they may be, however broken they may be, wherever they may be, wherever you, my friend, cast out by man in this world, despised and rejected, wherever you may be, in that day the Lord Jesus Christ shall come to recover the remnant of his people. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and shall gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. He came to save a people. He came to save a people who were cast out, who were scattered, who were few, who were rejected. He came to find them wherever they are. And wherever they are, he finds them. And he gathers them. And he finds them out. And he comes unto them in their broken state. And he comes unto them wherever they are, wherever you may be. And he says, rise up, take up thy bed and walk, and follow me. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Thy faith have made thee whole. Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved. For this Saviour died in the place of sinners. Sinners like you and me. He came and he stood under the judgment and the outpouring of the wrath of God. And he said of these outcasts, he said to his Lord God, his Father, he said, Lord, take their sins, take their corruption, and lay it upon me. Lord, pour out thy wrath not upon them, but upon me. And the Lord God poured out his wrath due unto their sins, and poured it out upon his Son upon the tree, and consumed his Son a sacrifice in the place of sinners. He burnt him up and he judged him, that those outcasts might be washed in that blood which was shed when Christ died, and that they might be declared righteous, for his blood washed their every last sin and their every last transgression away. Have you seen this Saviour suffering for you? You may feel outcast, but have you gone outside the camp to where that Saviour was crucified? Outside the camp of the mighty and the great? Outside the camp of the religious? Outside to where a few were gathered to look upon him who was crucified outside the camp? Have you seen the Saviour crucified for you? Have you seen one who washed your sins away in his own blood? Have you seen him? For if you have, you will know that far from being an outcast, you might be cast out by the world. You might be cast out by the religious. But you're not cast out, and you will never, ever, ever be cast out by this one who was himself cast out. By this one who died in your place. By this one who washed you clean. By this one who lifts up the beggar from off the dunghill and makes him a prince in Zion. By this one who takes the outcast and gathers him in and brings him in with a mighty company around the throne of the Lamb of God, the Son of God forever. You're not outcast in glory. All those who are cast out by men, who look upon Christ crucified for them, their Saviour, are brought to eternal glory, an everlasting righteousness, an everlasting salvation. They're given eternal life. When their life comes to a close, whereas the wicked plunge into eternal wrath, their pleasures, which were but for a moment, brought to a sudden end. These few, these others, this remnant, these outcasts, who suffered for a moment in this world, whom the world had no time for, these enter into eternal glory, everlasting riches, everlasting glory, everlasting bliss with that one who died in their stead, with that one who took the heaps, the mountains of their corruptions upon his back, with that one who suffered in their place, with that one who took all the guilt and condemnation away, with that one who saved them, that they might in him have everlasting glory and never, ever, ever be cast out again, but be welcomed into the arms of the Saviour who loved them and gave himself for them. Have you seen him? Are you brought in with a welcome into his courts? Cast out by many, yes, but welcomed by the Son of God and welcomed by his Father and drawn by the cords of love by his Spirit. Hebrews 13 tells us, the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate, outside the camp, cast out, rejected. But let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come, one where we are gathered with the Saviour, outcasts, but gathered in as the Jerusalem of God. For the Lord doth build up Jerusalem, he gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. Praise God.